We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Peter Schrager joins us now from all his different shows. His Good Morning, his early morning NFL show, his Fox shows on the weekend. There's only one Fox game left, so he's obviously going to be involved. Are you doing something from the game, or are you doing something else?
I'll be in studio. I'm going to be in L.A. doing previews from the studio, but I've got plenty of intel on both those teams. I'm excited for it.
Oh, you're a Ram guy. I know that. You're a Ram guy, right? Yeah, you are. You love the Ram coach. He's your guy, I can tell.
He's so my guy, but I'll tell you what. I spent a couple of days in New Orleans. It's hard not to feel a little love for Sean Payton.
Well, I go way back with him. He and I go way, way back. So I know
him. You know
him.
Who they gave the game ball to last week,
No,
right?
I have no idea, no.
Mike Ornstein was in the locker room. They gave Ornie a game ball.
So, I didn't know you know Ornstein. Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay,
that's going
back.
Google him, folks.
That's going
Google
back. That's going back a long way, Ornstein. So yes, I know Mike well. That's funny. That's funny. It really is. Listen, you know, there was some interesting stuff. There was a little vulnerabilities. Unlike the AFC game where both teams that won played really well, there were a couple of little vulnerabilities in the Saints game, Ram game. The Ram vulnerability was one, and it was simple. Their corners, if Tlaib's off the field, is scary, scary bad. So that's the issue for them. Now, Tlaib went in the tent. Is Tlaib healthy for this game?
I hear he's healthy. He should be good to go, and I would expect to see a lot of Akeem Tlaib, Mike Thomas matched up.
All right, so that's key because otherwise they're very weak at corner, and that's really their only weakness they have. That's their one Achilles, is their corner play can get very shaky, especially if Tlaib goes off the field. So other than that, I mean, listen, the game they got out of Sullivan – the game they got out of their offensive line, just unbelievable how well they blocked. They did an incredible job with that, for all the way down the line. Were that a great game? They played really well in that regard. And I thought the quarterback, although I know they weren't thrilled with their red zone efficiency early in the game. I thought the quarterback made enough plays where I was okay with his game. I thought he made the big run late to stay in bounds on the third down run. I thought overall he handled the game okay. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, completely was not too big for the moment. Like, he was fine, and he could do just fine again. You know who stepped up, and I know internally they're really happy about, because not that he played bad through the first 17 games of the season for them. And Ndamukong Suh showed up.
Had a huge game. Huge game. Well, listen, they're going to take Donald away, so you got to come up big. And he had a big game. He had a huge game.
On Ezekiel Elliott was the game. And then, you know, the thing that around the league, everyone says, you know, the word is cojones, whatever you want to say, but it's 4th and 1. Rams are up 8. McVay sends Goff out there. They do the hard snap. They try to draw the Cowboys offside. It doesn't work. They call timeout. Everyone, including Buck and Aikman, thought they were going to try out the field goal.
I would have kicked the field goal. I'm the first to admit it. Go up 11. I'm telling you, I would have kicked the field goal. I even had the discussion with my wife who said, go for it. She said, they're running it great. Go for it. I said, nope, kick the field goal. And he went out there and put the finishing touch on the game. They did.
That's it. And they put it away. And his take is, that's how we've played all year long. Let's just lose. Like, if we're going to lose, let's lose playing our style. Now, that could burn you. We've seen that happen, but you could see the reaction from the offensive line and the other guys on the offense. It's like, our guy believes in us. That's the thing. I think this weekend, we know we love the Taysom Hill, and Sean is crazy on 4th down also. But McVay is going to go blow for blow. This is going to be one of the more entertaining, and I'd say they're the two most aggressive play callers in all of football, and that includes Belichick at this point. So I think we're going to see a lot of interesting decisions, game management and 4th down type stuff.
No, listen.
2-point conversion. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we all know Sean is the most aggressive play caller in the sport.
Maybe in the history of the game.
Yeah,
right?
Parcells
is aggressive.
Not as aggressive as Sean. Not as because he believes more in defense than Sean does. So not as aggressive. Bill was always in his back pocket, was always willing to let his defense fans do it. Now he would go on fourth, and he also believed in the fake punt. Billy, yep. you know, I heard a couple people say, "Well, you know, the fake punt, you know, such an innovative play." Innovative. Go back and look, folks. I mean, innovative.
Reasons. Come on,
come on. I mean, geez, Arapahoe twice. I mean, Jimmy Johnson used it too. I mean, it's a game changer. Jimmy Johnson always believed in the big game. He told me this many times. He said, "In the big game, I believe you have to change the momentum of the game." And that's what those guys as coaches believe, is they have to change the moment. When is it that I have to change the momentum? And they're not afraid
were
to do that.
Were you taking fake punt at fourth and one at their own 30, down 14-0? Were you taking fake punt? Were you surprised?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I was surprised. Yeah, I was. But again, not that he would try it, but in that spot, I wasn't looking for it. Sometimes I'm looking for it. I wasn't looking for it there, I have to admit. So, vulnerabilities there. Here's what I saw about them that would worry me. Twice, not once, twice, he's got a post for a touchdown, and he underthrows both passes badly. Now, I don't know if that's – Now, Breeze – didn't play the same the last 5 weeks of the season. Now I wonder if there's something going on there, because he misses two passes he never misses. They're both walk-in touchdowns, and he misses both passes. So he didn't throw the deep ball well in that game.
First pass of the game was a complete duck that Cravon LeBlanc intercepted. He had Ginn open, and it was a duck. I mean, there are a couple of plastic.
And the third quarter, he's got him for a touchdown, a walk-in
Absolutely.
Touchdown, and he underthrows it again. So he twice throws the post that he kills for a touchdown, underthrows it both times. That's a red flag for me. Plus, they have a couple of injuries on both lines you got to worry about.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, Rankins is the most underrated player on that defense, the big boy in the middle. He popped his Achilles in that game last week, and now you're going to put Omenyatta in there, who – is a good player, but he's a run stuffer. He's not going to get to the backfield much, and I think that's a major, major issue with the way that the Rams are running the ball. I mean, the Rams have one of these 1-2 attacks that brings you back to the 70s or 80s, which is two guys who can crush you. And say what you want about C.J. Anderson's physical build, he runs skinny and he gets through the hole.
Oh no, he's fine. I have no problem
He looked great.
I have no problem with that. He ran
You're
the ball.
You're losing your best run stuffing defensive tackle in the biggest game of the season against what might be the best running team in the league. That is not good.
The injuries
on offense. Yeah. That's it. Armstead and Pete were both banged up. We'll see if they're healthy or not.
Nah, big question. Big issues there. No question about it. So it brings the game back very, very close. Like I said, they both showed a couple of vulnerabilities. They're both very aggressive. They both, the second half, the Saints ran the ball. And even the Saints, they even left the Eagles in the game by messing things up after the timeout. I mean, I never expected to see them mess up the game like that. I mean,
that was weird.
That was unbelievable.
I don't know
what happened there. They're rushing to get the play in now, and they lose 5 yards on third down. I mean, that could have cost them the game. I mean, that literally could have cost them the game.
And Lutz never misses. And, of course, in a big spot, you put your kicker out there. And
it's a whole different deal. When they're for real, I mean, so it makes a big difference, and it clearly does with these kickers.
Here's a take on this one, because they played in Week 9 and it was this crazy shootout,
45-35. Yeah,
it was a wild game. The Rams, though, back then were this pass happy, team playing man to man defense. Now they are a run first team that plays zone, so they're almost like a completely different team on both sides of the ball. And now you're the Saints. You're looking at the film from that week, and it looks like they're playing a whole different style of football. So that would be the red flag there if you're the Saints preparing. And then if you're the Rams, I mean, the Superdome, Mike, that's impossible to win there.
Very tough to win there.
Really hard to win there. The Eagles got up 14-0, and it still wasn't enough.
Very hard to win there. After the Rams after the Saints were down 14-0, It seemed like they had the ball the entire rest of the game, though. I mean,
third quarter drive was 11 minutes and 28
seconds. And not only that, score a touchdown on a drive where you have four major penalties and a touchdown call back. You had four major penalties, and they still scored on the drive, which is really absurd when you think about it. And the first game, Kamara scores three touchdowns. He has not been the same weapon down the stretch. And in that game against the Rams, he scores three touchdowns. Breeze has four touchdown passes. Now, Thomas had a huge game also. He had 211, but he's a major force again. Very underrated, no question. But the use of Kamara and Kamara's, impact on the game has clearly been lessened in the last 5 or 6 weeks with the Saints.
No, it has. And to me, it's the two X-factor guys on that offense are Kamara. He can do anything. And then they've used Taysom Hill more and more. Last week, Taysom Hill.
I don't like that.
28 snaps.
I don't like. You see, I'm not a big believer in these gadgets. I'm not a big believer. See, I'm a believer in if I have a quarterback, he's on the field every play. I'm not in this believer where I want to get the ball in the hands of my secondary player. I don't like that. Coaches have a habit. This is a weakness for coaches. They fall in love with that stuff.
And who was the guy? Was it Richie Anderson?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the bottom line is it wasn't Richie Anderson. It was the kid who got hurt who blew his knee out. It was a good player, but he liked him a lot. But the kid blew his knee out. I can't remember his first name. But maybe it
Ray
was
Lucas?
Richie. No. Ray was the quarterback. No, was what? Maybe I'm trying to remember if his first name was Richie. It was definitely Anderson. I'm trying to remember if it was Richie.
Richie,
yeah, it was Richie. You know that it was Richie. Yes, he's the one who threw the option pass. Absolutely. So against the Lions. So you fall in love with guys. That is very true. And I don't like that. I think that here's where it's funny. If you tried to do that to Tom Brady, he'd throw the guy off the field. I mean, so that's the difference. He wouldn't. He'd be like, "Wait a second, what are we doing here? This is my job." And that's how I'm surprised Breeze even allows that. I mean, because
it's the wild thing.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's too much of it.
During warmups,
way too much of it.
Built like a linebacker. He runs about a 4.4 40, and during warmups, he throws the ball. I know there's no defense, but he's throwing the ball like a quarterback because he is a quarterback.
No, he throws the ball well. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I don't like the gadgets. I don't like it. I want Breeze to throw the ball.
They have Breeze lined up at wide receiver. They haven't thrown it to him yet, so I'm waiting for that double pass. Every time they don't take Breeze off the field, they leave him on the field. He's just up at that wide receiver spot, and they call snap, and then he goes and runs it or he throws it down the middle. But I think I looked at the numbers. I think Breeze has been on the field at receiver at least a dozen times the last few games, and he's never gotten a pass thrown to him. So I would be interested to see if at some point in the playbook they have the pass to Breeze 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, then Breeze goes deep to Kamara or something. But you're right. It seems like it's really cute. It's really, it's almost risky to have Breeze at receiver because at some point you're going to get Marcus Peters or Aqib Talib who just goes and knocks Breeze out.
Yeah, I agree. And that stuff is a little too much. I don't think you go that well. I don't think you go that well in a playoff game. I don't know why. I get the feeling. I get the feeling from you that you think the Rams are going to win.
I do.
See, I knew it.
I think they're on a tear right now. In the last few weeks, I know they beat the Arizona Cardinals and San Francisco 49ers. They completely transformed their team from being this soft West Coast team to being one of these mentally tough January teams. I think they beat the snot out of a Cowboys team that is very
tough
last week.
They did.
Beat the snot out of them. So,
they did.
To me, I think they're going to travel well, and I think they're going to get the victory. Although, if the Saints won, obviously I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised, but my early, Thursday prediction is the Rams do come out with a victory.
And I guarantee you that were you at that game?
I was working the sidelines for the Eagles.
All right. Oh yeah, you were. I remember that. You remember your report now that I think of it. And I know you thought Foles was going to score again because you even said, and Foles said, "Let's go," or something like
he
that.
Did. Yeah. He grabbed his helmet and he looked at the entire team and said, "All right, let's go." And I'm like,
and that's when I said to myself, "Schrag is on that Foles story like crazy. He loved that Foles story." So even one more, let's go. And that's why I'm going to tell you this. After the missed field goal, after the rough in the passer, if he doesn't let the ball go through his hands, they're scoring a touchdown. You can take it to the bank. They're scoring a touchdown.
Is there any doubt that we're talking not about even Eagles Rams right now? There's not a doubt.
Now, I don't know. Let me say this. I don't know if the Saints will have time to come back and kick a field goal.
That's fair.
I don't know if they will. I don't know how much time's going to be left. But I will tell you this. If that ball doesn't go through his hands, you can take it to the bank. They're scoring a touchdown.
Here's the wild thing. They were rushing to get the ball snapped before the 2 minute warning. It was like 2:07 left, and they did a hurry up. He calls the play. They throw the interception, and that's that. But there was no reason. They had time. There was no reason to rush to the line. It's one of the great mysteries of what they were doing, that they were rushing to the line to get a playoff before the 2 minute warning.
See, I think they were trying to. I think what they were doing, and I know that's been brought up a lot. I think, and I haven't talked to them, but I think what they were doing was they thought they, not that they were trying to do it because they thought they, from a time standpoint, I think they thought they were going to catch him off balance, thinking that they weren't going to run the play. So that's why I thought they did, and they probably fooled themselves because they thought they were going to catch him off balance because everyone thought they would wait to run the play, and then they were going to run the play and catch him, and then all of a sudden the ball's down to the five-yard line, and you have as sure-handed a guy as you can have, and the ball goes through his hands. Yes, and the ball goes through his
hands in all of football. It's 99 out of 100
yes.
he catches that ball.
And I'm telling you, you can as you, and I know you've been the Foles guy. He was putting it – when they missed the field goal, I said, oh, my God, they're going to get the lead. I really did. Now – I thought he'd make the field goal. Now, I did not like what the Saints did. They took their foot off the gas, which I have not. When teams do that, here you are ripping it. They rip another pass to Thomas. They run it on first down. Now they realize, oh, good, we're on the 30-yard line. Let's stop playing. Why stop playing? You're ripping. You are ripping them apart. Why stop playing? I couldn't believe it. And Sean doesn't usually stop playing. So no. I was very surprised because I thought they were going to stick it right in the end zone again. I mean, I thought that's where they were headed. They were ripping right there. That game was over. They had them dead off their feet. And, I mean, they were worn out, and they just let their foot off the gas. And if you gave this Eagle team any help, they were going to come back and haunt you because they had a lot of winners on that team. They wanted to make big plays. They want to be in the – and I said, oh, my God, they're going to score a touchdown. And when they roughed the quarterback, I said, oh, they're definitely scoring a touchdown.
It's wild because all game Peyton was playing so great. I mean, the fourth down call to go to Keith Kirkwood, a Neptune, New Jersey kid, undrafted out of Temple, on your fourth and goal, down 14-0, if that's who you're passing to, like – Peyton was dialing it up, and then you're right, fourth quarter, they kind of dialed it back. I'll say this about Foles, and I've been accused a lot of being a Foles fan.
Yeah.
We do these production meetings, and you talk to these quarterbacks. I've never seen a guy more vulnerable, a guy more in touch with reality. Like, he was just so open and honest these last 2 years that I think he's the only quarterback I could remember actively rooting for, not so much in a game or in a moment, but like, you want good things for Nick Foles, what this guy's been through and how he handles his success and how he handles these teammates. I love watching Nick
now,
Foles.
Now, Foles wants his own team now, right? He wants his own team, right?
I think it's time. Think it's time he gets a big payday. He cashes in finally.
He should.
On what he's done.
Does he have a preference where he wants to go?
I don't think he has necessarily a preference. I think I'd look at the two Florida teams. The Dolphins,
I keep hearing Jacksonville. That's what I keep hearing. I keep hearing Jacksonville for him.
I don't know if there's a connection with Coughlin. What the connection is, John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach last year in Philly. He was with the Vikings. Zim fired him midway through the season. He just landed in Jacksonville as the OC. Him and Foles have a really good relationship.
That's why I hear it. Okay, that's why I keep hearing Jacksonville. That's what I keep hearing. All right, give me a minute on the other game.
Passing of the torch game. This is it, Mahomes. Like, if Mahomes throws for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards and they don't go to the Super Bowl, I kind of think it's one of those fun seasons that we forget about. You go and you beat Brady, this is it. You're the face of the future, and you're the Madden video game guy, you're the fantasy football guy, you're everything, and then it's going to be 2 weeks of Pat Mahomes talk. This is the one, you know? Like, this is the game that you go and you look at your head coach and you say, I got to win one for this guy. It's time for him to finally get one.
Well, if it's the Rams and it's the Chiefs, it's the turning of the page in the NFL. I mean,
it's a new era.
Yeah, it's a new era.
It kind of justifies all these young offensive coaches.
It is a new era. It is a new era if it's those two. Yeah, if it's those two. I kind of think the Saints are going to find a way to eke it out in their building, but if it is, you got the passing of the era there. You really do. It's the new era, as you said, no question.
Yeah. No, I would not be shocked at all if the Saints win. I think they're favorites, and I also think the Patriots could obviously go in to Kansas City and win that one, but I just think the Chiefs are on a special run, and I think the Rams are on a special run. I'm going to go with the Chiefs and the Rams.
Thanks. We'll talk.
Best.
Thank you. Thanks, Peter. All Peter Schrager, back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.